Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, Managing Editor of Crypto for Bloomberg News. And this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. It's Thursday, March 9th. If there's one thing that crypto regulators and people who want to be crypto regulators and people who are being regulated by crypto regulators have been talking about this year, it's stablecoins. Stablecoins are the part of crypto that's supposed to be, unlike, say, Bitcoin or Ether, not that volatile. The idea is that these tokens hold their value, and that value is pegged one-to-one to something like a US dollar, or a euro, or the Japanese yen. Now, that hasn't always turned out to be true, notably in the case of a type of stablecoin known as algorithmic. But across the board, stablecoins continue to be both one of the most popularly traded forms of crypto tokens and one of the ones under the most amount of regulatory scrutiny right now. Just recently in New York, regulators demanded that a company called Paxos, which had partnered with Binance on a certain type of stablecoin, immediately stopped creating any new ones of the tokens. These are just some of the reasons that we asked Circle Internet Financial's CEO, Jeremy Allaire, to join me in the studio. Circle is the issuer of what's currently the second largest stablecoin, USD Coin, or USDC. And Jeremy Allaire himself has some very specific opinions on who should and who should not regulate stablecoins. Our conversation lasted about an hour, so we pulled the highlights for you. Here's my conversation with Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire, edited for length and clarity. Jeremy, welcome to Bloomberg.
Thank you.
It is a pleasure to have you in the podcast studio at what we can describe as a fairly interesting time for stablecoins, stablecoin issuers, folks working in the crypto space.
It's always interesting in crypto land.
So tell our listeners who you are.
So I'm Jeremy Allaire. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Circle. And Circle is a issuer of a stablecoin, as we'll talk about more. But it's a company that I co-founded 10 years ago to build a new layer for how money can be stored and used and accessed on the internet.
So you're almost as old as Bitcoin.
Yeah, I mean, Almost as old as Bitcoin, yeah.
The reason that I ask that is because sometimes when folks hear crypto, they will think immediately of a Bitcoin or an Ether. Some of them might think of a non-fungible token or a Bored Ape. It's reasonable to say there are fewer people whose minds immediately jump to a USDC, a stablecoin like yours. Where do stablecoins fit in that overall crypto ecosystem?
One thing to note is, you know, the most widely used digital currencies are stablecoins, are dollar-based digital currencies. And I think the important thing to maybe, you know, sort of step back and realize is crypto just stands for cryptography. And the methods that became available with advancements in cryptography made it possible to solve problems on the internet that weren't possible to solve until really recently, like the last 10 or 15 years. You know, the internet is a medium where there's a lot of hacks. There's a lot of data issues, cybersecurity issues, there's cyber threats, and, you know, there's no underlying basis for knowing what's true, what's false. We've seen that proliferate in things like social media. And so cryptography allows you to verify data in a cryptographically provable way. In other words, that's a fancy way of saying in a mathematically certain way, one can prove something. And so the birth of crypto, the category, is really applying the advancements in cryptography and mathematics to be able to be sure about certain pieces of data and transactions around that data, and to do that on the public internet, to do that as a kind of shared good on the public internet. And that's really the breakthrough innovation of crypto.
What is the problem that Circle solves, and who are they solving this problem for?
When we founded the company 10 years ago, approximately, our vision 10 years ago was, we believe that there could become like a protocol for dollars on the internet. How do I take my computer, my device, and connect to an information source that's out there? So the idea was, wow, what if I could have a device and I could connect to any other device, and the protocol would be something that could kind of carry dollars and do that like we carry data on the internet. So that was the big idea. And technologically, it wasn't possible for the first few years. We tried to build ways to make it possible using Bitcoin, the technology layer of Bitcoin. But eventually, 5 years in, so now 5 years ago, we were able to invent what is now known as USDC, a dollar digital currency. And you know, the goal was exactly that. How do we create something that allows for dollars to be issued as digital currency units that can then float around the internet, just like an image file or a text file, but with the certainty that any individual token is unique, can't be counterfeit, and then has all of the superpowers of the internet kind of applied to that medium of exchange, which is, I think, really the heart of this, which is, hey, the internet's got superpowers. How do we give those superpowers to the dollar? And so that's what we built up over the last 5 years. And so Circle really runs that infrastructure of USDC, and we're regulated as a global payment technology company. And, you know, we store any dollars in a safe and transparent way.
A literal safe?
Well, you know, Bank of New York Mellon holds the treasury bills in their custody. And, you know, they got $25 trillion of assets that they're holding. And BlackRock manages the, you know, tens of billions of dollars of treasury bill liquidity, buying and selling those on our behalf. And then, you know, publicly traded banks in the United States, you know, hold in the aggregate about 20% of the reserves in cash. And so, you know, a USDC token that you hold is always redeemable for a dollar, and it's backed by the most reliable dollar assets in the world. So we do that. And the important thing, though, is that once that person has a USDC token, they can transact it and transmit it, just like they transact and transmit information and data on the internet.
You have a lot of folks who are like, why would I need some kind of crypto e-coin when I have Zelle or PayPal or Venmo, or I can do a Swift transfer from my bank? What is the actual specific use case that isn't being solved by any of these more traditional or even more recent financial technology innovations?
There are huge problems today with the way that money works. Money, almost all forms of payment live inside what I like to refer to as walled gardens. There's a Zelle walled garden and there's a Venmo walled garden. Well, what if you want to send a $100,000 transaction over Zelle or PayPal? You can't do it. Mm-hmm. What if you want to send $1 billion transaction? You can't do it. What if you want to send a dollar transaction? You can't do that because they have, you know, too many embedded costs. Now, what if you want to send value from Venmo to someone who has Revolut in Europe? You can't do that. What if someone has Grab in Asia and wants to pay someone in Africa? You can't do it. So you have all these walled gardens. They tend to be narrowly defined around small value transactions in a closed loop system. So compare that to the internet. I have a mobile device. I have a messaging app. I can reach anyone in the world. What digital currency does, what things like USDC do, is basically say any device endpoint in the world can connect to an open network and transact at the speed of the internet at a very low cost with very high security and privacy assurances and can do that directly, counterparty to counterparty. And that makes it possible to transact with anyone anywhere in the world at the speed of the internet with that efficiency.
There are a lot of people in a lot of countries who cannot access certain websites or cannot even access the public internet at all. And there are criticisms right now of products like crypto very broadly and stablecoins in some cases in particular, because the reason that it is hard for you to send $100,000 or $1 billion is because there are a lot of people who have questions like, where did you get that money from and how do we know you didn't steal it? And so stablecoins are finding themselves at a particularly pointy end of a regulatory stick at the moment where, you know, folks are asking questions like, well, how do you make sure that those counterparties are who they say they are? And how do you make sure that in an environment in which Russia is facing sanctions from most countries in the world, the person at the other end of that $1 billion transaction isn't someone on a sanctions list somewhere?
The invention of digital cash that exists on the internet is a big deal. It's a really big deal. And I think people and businesses, when presented with a product of digital cash that has the safety and soundness and assurance of, you know, UST bills and cash, that has the medium of exchange properties of the internet, like that's going to be far preferable as a store of value and a medium of exchange to the existing banking. And many households and firms in many places, they don't trust even their local banks, even if they had dollar banks, or they don't trust their local currencies. And so the advent of digital cash, of dollar-based digital cash, is a big breakthrough, and it's something that people want.
Coming up next, you'll hear more from my conversation with Circle CEO Jeremy Allaire. We'll be right back.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
One of the most interesting criticisms of blockchain is that it's actually very difficult to launder money on it because so much of it is visible to these kinds of governments. But I think in 2023, the specific objections regulators have had to stablecoins and crypto is less about the hacks, the frauds, and the scams, because as you've just described, there's this robust and frankly very intense framework to stop terror cells from trying to have access to this kinds of technology. For them, they're making an argument from the perspective of sovereignty, right? That these products undermine their ability to control what they perceive to be their currencies. If you are a dollar-backed product, the United States is going to have opinions about what you do with treasury bills or however else you're representing that. Or if you are a euro-backed product, same thing for the European Union. So they're worried about what does this mean for our cross-border control? And they're worried about consumer protection. Because one of the big things that happened in 2022 is the crypto institutions that everybody thought looked like things you could trust turned out to be less than reliable. Those are social contract-ish, but also very macro problems.
I'll start with the latter, which is the transparency and disclosure are hallmarks of sound financial products. And the good news about products like USDC is that they have always been issued under a very rigorous regulatory framework for electronic money in the United States. And that is a framework that has made it both possible, but also allowed individuals to feel comfortable transacting with things like PayPal and Venmo and Apple Pay or Stripe or Cash App. All of these software innovations that are payment system innovations are all grounded under these electronic money transmission rules. And those rules are very specific. You have to hold one-to-one in stored value for any of these electronic representations. And if you don't, you're breaking the law and you're examined on it. And the regulators are looking at, where's the money? Show me the data, et cetera. Now, we've gone above and beyond that. So we are regulated under that framework, but we've gone to greater lengths for transparency because people get more freaked out in crypto. Let's just be honest. So monthly incremental attestations that are from major accounting firms, we're now at a point where we provide for substantially all of the USDC reserves daily reporting on every single short duration T-bill that is in the reserve. And so there's increasing transparency. And I think what you're seeing around the world is regulators are saying, yes, we need very low risk, highly liquid reserves. You need reporting, you need transparency. This is what these are allowed to do. It largely follows the way we operate, but that's good because it'll sort of make these a known, safe instrument that people can use in different currency zones and around the world. So that piece, I think, is being addressed, and there needs to be more, and we could come back to that. Like, there needs to be, in my view, federal statutes that sort of define the requirements of being one of these digital dollar issuers. Mm-hmm. And as Chairman Powell likes to say, that is a dollar money creation. And so that's a federal banking-like activity. It's not lending, but it sits inside of the risk and prudential kind of supervisory requirements of the core money and payment systems of the country. And you're seeing that replicated in the EU law, in the UK proposed law, in Singapore and Hong Kong, other places. So we're seeing normalization. And so in 2023, we're going to, I believe, see consistent stablecoin regulation passed into law and go effective in 2024.
The SEC has, alongside other regulators, kind of taken the position that, one, they're not necessarily going to say new things about why they're paying so much attention to everybody. They're going to double down on some of the previous things. But we've also started to hear, especially in the US from other kinds of senators, that actually we do need new things because we need to be thinking about crypto and we need to be thinking about stablecoins, both as money and also as technology. And, you know, within technology, you mentioned that, like, the need for privacy, the need for guidance around which types of countries you can operate in, what you can do, even just like representation of how you do different products. When you look at the regulatory landscape right now, what are the biggest things that you are seeing that are, you know, however you want to characterize them, existential threats, opportunities, challenges to get to this sort of utopian ecosystem that you're describing?
The highest priority from regulators has been, how do we make sure that businesses that are, you know, providing services using what regulators call virtual assets, that they follow know your customer procedures and any money laundering procedures and try and, you know, kind of...
Don't be Ponzi schemes, the basics.
Yeah, so, and having firms need to register with a competent regulator who's going to do background checks on the operators and who's going to do periodic examinations. I think you're seeing a lot more focus on what I'll call the enterprise risk side of this, which has to do with the safeguarding itself. What kind of legal structure exists around the safeguarded assets? Are they bankruptcy remote from the firm that's operating it? So things that have existed in other custodial spaces, you're starting to see come into this space. And clearly, with some of the things that we've seen happen, that's an important thing. We're seeing markets regulators approach things very differently around the world. So, you know, legislators need to legislate in these moments, and this is where new rule books are required. And good news is you're seeing a lot of that around the world. But in the United States, it's time for Congress to act. The White House and major regulators have been compelling Congress. We need you to act. It's urgent that Congress acts. Congress hasn't acted. Lots of reasons for that. We've got a new Congress. We've got, you know, new leadership in different financial services committees. And I think we will see legislation finally. And the American people and industry and regulators and academics can all come together and say, okay, what do we want this to be for the United States?
Is the SEC the right regulator for stablecoins?
No, I don't think so. And there's a reason why everywhere in the world, including in the United States, the government is specifically saying payment stablecoins are a payment system and banking regulator activity. Now, does that mean that all projects that hold themselves out as a stablecoin are in fact that? Is it possible that there are products that hold themselves out as stablecoins that could in fact be implicitly securities or have various types of derivative or synthetic instruments embedded in them? And there's lots of different flavors. We like to say not all stablecoins are created equal, but clearly from a policy perspective, the uniform view around the world is this is a payment system, prudential regulator space, but it'll define what is included in that, and what's not included in that will end up somewhere else.
Jeremy, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jeremy Allaire for joining the show today. For more on all things stablecoins, and of course, everything else in crypto, subscribe to our twice weekly newsletter. It's also called Bloomberg Crypto. This is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your comments, questions, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net. The supervising producer of Bloomberg Crypto is Vicky Vergolina. Our senior producer is Janet Babin. Our producers are Mohammed Farouk and Sharon Bariro. Our associate producers are Ty Butler and Moses Undum. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael. We'll be back tomorrow.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code Radio20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.